and welcome to the Message Makeover podcast brought to you by the Latimer Group, the experts in persuasive communication. I'm Dan Cooney, and I'm joined today by my colleagues Amy Fenollosa and Dean Brenner. Hi, Amy and Dean. How are things in Latimer World Headquarters?
Hey, Dan. We're doing great here in Wallingford today. How are you down in Marion?
It is a blustery and sunny day, the last day of school for the children. There is great joy all around.
How you doing, Dan?
Dean, how are you doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. It's summertime, finally. So how bad can it be?
Exactly. And I'm looking forward to teaching with you tomorrow and the whole team in Old Saybrook, USA. That should be fun.
Yeah, we got the full Latimer experience for our client tomorrow in Old Saybrook. It's going to be great having everybody together.
Yeah, we're going to look forward to that. And this is going to be fun today as we mix it up a bit. Typically, we coach a business executive on a topical communications challenge, but today we're going to wade a bit deeper into the topics of awareness and listening. Mm-hmm. Why, you ask? Well, after coaching thousands of professionals on persuasive communication, we believe there's a quantum leap that you can make as a communicator simply by listening well and being tuned in to your environment. So let's light this candle by asking you, Amy. I'm really good at my job, right? I'm prepared for presentations. I always send out agendas before meetings. My reviews have been good. You know, why should I strive for better awareness of others in the workplace? What's the big deal here?
Thanks, Dan. I think it's often something that people neglect when they're working to make meetings more efficient and more effective is pausing for a minute and thinking beyond themselves and starting to think a little bit about their audience and the awareness that they should have of the people in the room. We coach our colleagues all the time and our clients around the globe to be more self-aware and more situationally aware. So I can talk a little bit about self-awareness. I think we know in the 1990s when Daniel Goleman started thinking about emotional intelligence, one of the hallmarks for that is self-awareness. So what does that mean to communication? Simple things like tuning into your emotion. If you're the one who's had a terrible day as you're walking into a meeting, maybe you need to pause, take a deep breath, and get yourself in the right frame of mind because those emotions are contagious to the people around you. And even if you think you're masking them, the audience can sense them. So the first piece of awareness is really tune into what's going on with yourself. And then the second piece is do a little bit of homework before you get to a meeting. And think about who's going to be in the room and what's going to be valuable to them and how you can connect your content so that it makes sense and is relevant to their world. Dean, what do you think?
Amy's spot on. And when I think about how we coach people here at the Latimer Group and what are the common denominators that come up in our workshops and come up in our one-on-one coaching assignments, awareness is a big one. And Amy's exactly right. You know, first coaching somebody to be aware of the energy they're bringing into the room and helping them be agile with that self-awareness and moderate or modulate themselves based on, just thinking about, God, what might I bring into this situation here and how might it affect positively or negatively the people I'm talking about or talking to? There's this whole notion of just getting outside of your own head before we can start coaching you on how to communicate more effectively and how to use techniques and how to leverage your toolbox and all the things that we equip people to use in an effort to communicate better. Those tools are only going to have limited value if you have a low level of self-awareness or a low level of situational awareness, because I can equip somebody with every single possible technique and trick and skill when it comes to communication, but if they come in like a bull in a china shop, completely unaware, it's eventually going to wear thin very, very quickly. So Amy's right. Like this is a foundational conversation whenever we're coaching somebody, or whenever we're leading the discussion in a workshop.
So Dean, say more about that. I like that, the ability to modulate. Mm-hmm. Your own. We talk about knowing your own strengths and weaknesses is one
sure.
of the pieces. But talk a little bit about that. People who can do that, people who can't do that. You've seen probably
right.
both kinds.
For sure. We see it all the time. And the word that I always come back to that I really enjoy is agility. And if you're a one-trick pony and you present yourself in the exact same way in every single situation – there are going to be situations where you're in your sweet spot and your leadership style or your communication style are going to be spot on for what the moment calls for. But far more often than not, you're going to be at risk to have read the situation wrong, and your one trick may not apply there. So, yeah. You know, there's going to be some moments and some teams or some individuals that really need you to lead the discussion a little bit more. And there's going to be other moments and other teams or individuals that really would benefit from you hanging back a little bit. And the really agile communicator isn't going to impose themselves on the situation and say, here I am, this is the way I do it, take me or leave me. The agile communicator is going to say, hey, what does the moment call for? What does the situation call for? You know, maybe there's somebody on my team that really needs a little bit of room before they will come out and speak up and come out of their shell a little bit. And if I'm dominating the conversation, I'm going to get in their way. There's going to be other times where the team is hanging back, or the people, the individual, are hanging back. And if I don't, you know, bring them out, I may never get anything good from them. So, you know, and Amy and I and, you know, the three of us talk about it all the time when we're talking about how we lead a room. And, you know, if you go in and facilitate every single room exactly the same way, I think your value it doesn't disappear, but it's certainly less.
Right. And the way the way I see it is that then you can bring out the best in everybody around the table. Mm-hmm. So if you start to tune in your antenna and pay attention to the individual people sitting around the room and understand what's going to make them feel more comfortable, what's going to make them feel included in the dialogue, what's mm-hmm. going to challenge them or motivate them, mm-hmm. then everybody can bring their best selves totally. To the dialogue and to the conversation.
Totally.
We never want to leave people out. If we're having a collaborative meeting, the goal there is to hear everyone's voices. And so this is as much a communication skill as it is a leadership skill.
Yes.
And finding a way to draw everybody into the dialogue will make you a better communicator, make your meetings more productive.
For sure.
Yep. So we all have a range. May not be Meryl Streep, but we all have a range that we can play, right? And we have to work on that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Dean, I understand my strengths and weaknesses, okay, and my emotions and mm-hmm. how they may affect others. And now mm-hmm. I'm trying to be more aware of others.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a bit of a moving chessboard because there's so much change that's going on mm-hmm. in the corporate workplace. I mean, everywhere, right? But especially the corporate workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And the pace of that change is just accelerating. People are having a little bit of, you know, white knuckles trying to hold on. So isn't it harder to know your audience anymore, given all that?
Totally. And you know, let's just be totally transparent about it. You're never going to know everything, or never's a long time, but you're rarely going to know everything. And by the way, if you go in assuming you know everything, then you're shutting down future learning. And you know, so in a way, thinking that you know enough about your audience is a form of lower awareness in a way.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So you have to be in a constant information gathering mode, a constant high awareness mode. But yeah, I mean, you know, audiences are, you know, constantly changing. You know, another element, Amy talked about self-awareness. You know, another form of awareness that we talk about all the time, which I think connects to your question, is situational awareness. And, you know, I could know you or Amy or anybody on our team incredibly well. Like, we've been working together for years. We've sat in God knows how many meetings around our little office conference table here. But so you could have a high level of self-awareness and you could have a high level of audience awareness. But if you stop learning and stop paying attention, you could be at risk of having a low level of situational awareness because, you know, we're all human beings here. And even though you might know my default style or I might know yours, if I'm not paying attention to what's going on with you today, I might miss the fact that, hey, you got something going on at home, or you didn't sleep last night, or you're not feeling great, or, you know, maybe something else is putting pressure on you that might change your default style. And as weird as it is to say this, there are situations where too much audience awareness and too much comfort with your level of audience awareness can actually hurt you and I'm not advocating for not learning about your audience. What I'm advocating for is never being comfortable, because things change with people. And I might have a certain way that I normally present myself, and you might understand that. But if you're not paying attention to the fact that I got this other thing going on over here, you may be surprised by how I present myself that day, which could catch you off guard and maybe hurt the nature of the communication that we're having. Situational awareness is as important as anything else we're talking about here. Things change.
And especially at large companies, reorgs mm-hmm. are now the norm.
Yep.
And people are talking about, how do I manage this? And so they might be working under a very different situation with a new boss who is trying to, let's say she's trying to inculcate a totally different way of, you know, style, and what she's looking for in terms of her metrics may be different from the old boss. So we just have to be really careful on that score.
For sure.
And Amy, a big part of awareness is listening. And one of the things I think is we always talk in workshops, you know, you probably know that, you know, being a better listener is an important thing before you walk through the door. Mm-hmm. But we try to give them some help with that. And do you think that it's just even harder in today's world, given how overcrowded the marketplace of ideas is? It's so much is being thrown at you. It's even harder than ever to be a good listener.
Absolutely. I think we all can feel it in our personal lives as well as our professional lives. We are constantly being inundated with information, and whether it is having our phones in the palm of our hand that are constantly triggering us to get distracted or look the other direction, or we're working in large teams of people where many people want our attention simultaneously, there are constant distractions. So listening does become more and more difficult. And as much as we feel like, oh, we're a pretty good listener, we forget and we just neglect to listen. So it's hard to take a step back and really be focused on being present and being in the moment and tuning into your listening. I mean, we expect it of our children. It's a common courtesy. We expect everybody to stop what they're doing and pay attention when we speak up. And surprise, surprise, they're not all able to do it. So how do you draw awareness to it? I think the first thing is acknowledging it and letting people know. You recognize the fact that they're busy, but ask for their attention in this moment when you're speaking with them.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of elements to listening that I think are critical here. And by the way, I say in the workshops that I lead all the time that if you are looking for a quantum leap in your ability to communicate with your audience, for almost everybody I've ever met, part if not all of the solution revolves around their listening skills, because very few people do it well, or even people who don't allow themselves to be distracted, they're not always listening for the right things. And especially when it comes to professional communication, but I think also in our personal communication too, it's not only how well are you listening, but what are you listening for? And I think one of the key elements of being a great communicator in a busy, crowded, noisy world like the one we're living in is, can you connect with people? I mean, we're all craving connection. That's the genesis of social media and lots of other things. Like, we're craving connection. Human beings have wanted that since the beginning of time. Clubs, groups, tribes, like, we've always been about creating connection. And so listening skills can create opportunity for connection, but it's not just are you not distracted and are you present and are you listening? It's also what are you listening for? And this comes up in every workshop I teach and in every coaching assignment that I'm a part of, where it's like, okay, you're not distracted. Great. You're on the right track. Awesome first step. You're listening actively. Way to go. Nice work. But we're not done yet. And when I'm listening at my best, and I don't do this all the time either, I'm as bad as anybody at certain times, but I'm listening for what matters to the person that I'm trying to connect with. What are their goals? What are their objectives? Like, what's going to make them feel good? What's going to make them feel bad? Like, what are they trying to accomplish? How can I find a way to meet them on their terms? So it's not only are you listening and not being distracted, but then it's like when you start listening for the right things, now I think your listening skills become a major tactical advantage. And that sounds a little contrived. I don't mean tactical advantage like it's all of, like a zero-sum game. But what I mean is, like, your listening skills are now creating an opportunity for you to connect with other people in the workplace, which means all sorts of good things are going to happen at that point.
Well, I mean, aren't we differentiating ourselves when we really do listen to people? Because I think, you know, aren't most people at this point, given the distractions that are around us, including smartphones, et cetera, we don't get listened to all that much.
And God, does it feel great when it happens, right?
Yeah, and so they're showing me respect by asking for my opinion and actually listening to me. And, totally. You know, we all have had the situation where someone will ask you a question at a cocktail party and then look over your shoulder to see who the next person might come, and how does that make us feel? We're like, okay.
I hate talking to that guy.
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
You know, this is Richard Branson said, if you want to stand out as a leader, a good place to begin is by listening.
For sure.
And you know, I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Totally. Totally.
Digging into what makes a great listener, let's try to create a picture in the minds of our listeners on that. I mean, there's clarifying questions. There's so many different pieces of this.
Wait, did you just say we need to teach our listeners how to listen? Is that what you just said? Did I just hear you correctly?
Well, that is the joke. In fact, I haven't used the joke yet. Like, what did you guys say? I haven't used that one yet, but well, there it goes. I just used it. It was one free get out of jail card. So let's talk a little bit seriously about the, you know, there's that story you tell Dean about, you know, 5 minutes before a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give us that anecdote. I love that one. If you're walking to a colleague, you're going to be meeting with a colleague in 5 minutes.
I mean, it's a simple idea, but I think the best ones almost always are the simple ideas. And if you're walking to a meeting or walking to a conversation into somebody else's office and you spend that entire walk with your face buried in your phone, you may be doing important things. I mean, there's exceptions to every rule, but you are present within your phone at the expense of being present at least at the beginning of whatever meeting or conversation you're walking into. And if I'm walking to talk to Amy and I spend that entire walk face buried in the phone, even when I walk into her office, if she's still wrapping something else up and she's on the phone, technically it hasn't started yet. I'm not technically disrespecting her or the situation, but I'm certainly not present. And then she hangs up the phone and she's like, all right, I'm ready. And then I'm like, okay, I'll put my phone down. Now I'm here now. No, I'm actually not. My head's going to be in that phone for a couple of more minutes thinking about the text I just sent or the text I didn't get to, or thinking about what I want to say to that annoying email that I know is sitting waiting for me in my inbox. And it might be 2 or 3 minutes before I get present in my conversation with Amy. And, you know, instead, if I spent like that 2 or 3 minutes before I walked into her office, you know, thinking about her, what we might talk about, what we talked about last time, being present so that the second I walk through the door, I'm already there. Even if she's not ready for me, I'm ready for the conversation and I'm present and I'm not distracted. I've seen it happen for myself many times where just 2 or 3 minutes of focus prior to something important is a game changer with my ability to listen.
And from the person who's on the receiving end of that, it feels like an entirely different exchange or interaction. So I mean, even in your personal life, imagine if you bump into somebody that you haven't seen in a few weeks and they say, hey, how was that trip you just went on? Oh, I saw your kid just graduated. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. It just makes you feel respected and connected, and it sets them up to receive the information in a totally different way. So it really is valuable for everybody involved, whether you're the one hosting the meeting or you're the one having the conversation or receiving the information. It makes everybody feel better, more respected.
Yep. There's no downside to being present.
During that meeting, you obviously we're all told to take notes because that helps us. The studies show that helps us remember in great detail what happened at that meeting. Again, in the noisy world and a busy world, anything that can help us remember what went on during that meeting, because it's going to be important again, whether in a week or 2 weeks or a month, as the action items get checked off and then checked back in on. But what else can people do to, you know, have better recall as to what happens at a meeting?
I think it's a great question. I think often you can tie it to the work that you're doing. So if someone else is talking about their part of the work, you might be connecting internally in your brain. You might be connecting on the pad of paper you're working on. You might be connecting on your laptop. What else it is that you're doing. And for some people, there's this urge to interrupt. And one of the hindrances to good listening is interrupting. So if you know you have a tendency to interrupt, use your note-taking skills and make some key questions along the way that you really want to follow up on. So I think it's all about finding the relevance in your world and then asking clarifying questions or commenting on them. Keeping yourself engaged in the dialogue and the conversation is really what's going to make it meaningful. It makes it stick and last in your brain.
For sure.
It's that ego in all of us is telling us to talk.
Totally.
And you have to pull yourself back. Because I think people try to be good listeners. They're making a good effort, but they don't let people completely finish.
Yeah.
And you want to be sure that you are, and all those things, the verbal cues, letting people know that you're really interested in what they're saying, yeah. and being appropriate to the situation.
I have another thought I want to add here, Dan. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So yeah, I want to tie the listening thing, though, back to something else that we talk about all the time, which is message prep. And we preach that yep. all the time, being prepared, knowing what you want to say. And that has far-reaching implications when you go into a situation having your message organized, knowing what you want to say. But here's a big impact from it. Here's how it can impact your listening skills in a massive way. Because if you're not prepared and you're walking into that meeting and you're thinking, oh, my God, now I got to think about what I'm going to say in 3 minutes when the meeting starts, and your head is completely wrapped up in, well, what am I going to say here? I want to make sure I don't embarrass myself. Or maybe you kind of know what you want to say, but it's not fully committed to memory, and you're like, don't forget to say this, don't forget to say that. When your head is all wrapped up in trying to figure out what you want to say or trying to remember what you have planned, your listening skills are shut down. So when yeah. you know, and you and I have talked about this in the past, Dan, using a sailing metaphor, and it really works in any sport, but if I'm really comfortable in the mechanics of the sport that I'm doing in sailing, the real benefit is, can I then get my head outside of the boat and stop worrying about the immediate task in front of me because it's so second nature, and start looking around at the competition and the weather and the wind so that I can actually race effectively? The same is true in business. If my head is so wrapped up in what I'm going to say, I'm not listening when I walk in that door because my head is inside, don't forget to say this, don't forget to say that. But if I can have done a little bit of prep and my message is organized, I'm like, yeah, I know generally what I want to do. Then when you walk in the room or you pick up the phone, now your perspective can be fully focused on what's going on around you, and you're noticing body language and facial expression and listening to what people actually say because you've done your prep. So when you don't prepare for a meeting, not only are you there's so many ways that it can hurt you, one of which is you're going to be less effective as a listener because you're still trying to figure out what the heck you're going to say.
Cascading
effects, right? Benefit,
because of the prep that you didn't do.
Exactly.
And one of the pieces that we do give, Amy, is also after in our review, especially if we're sitting with a few colleagues around a table and we've been on a conference call, talk about what's important to do after.
Yeah, well, I think that we all listen through our own biases and with our own filters, and we're all hearing slightly different things. So checking in with the other people around the table at the end of a conversation to see what they heard, what was meaningful to them, what stood out. And we do this at the Latimer Group after any conference call we have with a client or with colleagues from other places. What did you hear? What's really important to this message? And what should we follow up on? So that you're just double checking and connecting with everybody to see that they've all heard the same thing.
It's Ray Dalio has the book, The Principles, or I forget exactly the title, but he talks about this importance about how we all listen differently and through our lenses of our own experience, mm-hmm. and that when you listen, by yourself, you're listening in black and white, but then when you ask others what they've heard, it's like listening in color, and it's really interesting to know that you can't really know the full truth until you understand a couple of different perspectives.
True.
And the military does something like this after every exercise. It's an after action review.
Mm-hmm.
And so they believe in the importance of, hey, what just happened and what's important about what happened.
Yep.
And then you get your full level of knowledge only after hearing from multiple perspectives.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sure. Good discussion.
So, we always end the show with a key coaching takeaway from mm-hmm. both of you. So I'll ask you a question and then any coaching takeaway. So can you be a great communicator without being a great listener? And then what do you think is the key takeaway for people about this idea of awareness and listening?
I can take
Amy,
it.
Amy, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll take it first. I think that some people may fancy themselves fantastic orators without being good listeners. But if you really mm-hmm. want to engage your audience in a dialogue, you have to begin by listening. So mm-hmm. to me, they're not two separate entities. They are one and the same. All communication includes listening.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dean?
Totally agree. The question is, can you be a good communicator without being a good listener? And the answer is an emphatic no. No, you can't. Because listening not only gives you an insight into how to connect with other people, but they feel it too, which means you're building your credibility because they're feeling respected. It helps you in a whole bunch of ways, and it's almost unquantifiable, the benefit. So I tell people all the time, you want to make a quantum leap as a communicator, take a hard look at your listening skills.
Yep. It goes back to Richard Branson. If you want to stand out as a leader, a good place to begin is by listening. Well, great advice from Amy and Dean. I appreciate that. And that brings us to a close of this edition of the Message Makeover. We thank our whole team at the Latimer Group, including Whitney Sweeney, Hannah Morris, Kendra Ragukas, and especially our producer Brett Slater and the always beautiful pastoral gem that is Wiscasset, Maine. We love audience questions, so please tweet those questions to at the Latimer Group. We'll be listening well for them. Until then, see you next time on The Message Makeover.
The Message Makeover podcast is presented by the Latimer Group, the experts in persuasive communication, corporate training, and executive coaching delivered with impact. For more information on the Latimer Group and for more episodes of the Message Makeover podcast, look for us on iTunes, Google Play, and online at thelatimergroup.com.